So we did end up going into his house, and they fed us a whole meal, gave us all their fresh food, which is always really striking about Middle Eastern culture. They really give all that they have, even if they don't have much. So they're very generous people. So we experienced some of that. And then we also had the wife of this man. She was in a chair. She looked unwell. She had really, really swollen legs and feet, and they looked really painful. I'm a nurse, so I asked about that. I said, "How's your health?" And she told me, she started crying about how she was in a lot of pain and she couldn't walk because of her swollen feet. She had a heart problem, just started going into it. And I had a real compassion towards her, along with some of the other people on the team. So I just said, "Could we pray for you?" It was a real amazing experience because we had just been sitting and laughing and chatting. And all of a sudden now we're on the floor by her feet, just holding her feet and praying for her.
Hey guys, welcome back to Raw Mission. If you're joining us for the first time, it's great to have you with us. In this podcast, we want to take you to villages, towns, and cities around the world, where finding a follower of Jesus is like finding a needle in a haystack. In fact, where there are often no believers, no churches, and no gospel workers. But we want to show you what God is up to, how his kingdom is expanding and growing, even in the most unlikely places. I'm Matt, your host, and today I've got two young ladies with me, housemates from Cardiff, who not long ago went on a short-term mission trip to Anatolia in central Turkey. We'll hear what it's like to show up in towns where tourists never go, to walk around for a few days praying for kingdom breakthrough, to meet strangers, to accept hospitality, and to share Jesus with whoever might listen.
Well, today it's a real joy to have two guests on the show with me. Hi, Lucy and Hannah.
Hello.
It's great to be with you. Now, actually, we are on a video call, and you're kind of in the same country as me and kind of not. So where are you guys right now?
We're both in Cardiff. I'm living in the same house together, so we're good friends as well as a housemate.
Yeah. So for those of our international listeners who don't know, Cardiff is one of the major cities in Wales. So that's why it's a bit quirky to say we're in the same country, but we're not, because we're all in the UK, the United Kingdom, but technically I'm in England and you guys are down there in Wales.
Yeah.
So it's great to have you on. I don't know that much about your background. Where did you guys grow up?
Well, I grew up in Cardiff in a loving home. It was a little disjointed, a few challenges, but eventually found the Lord at quite a young age, actually at 15.
So are you Welsh then by nationality?
I am.
Great. That's awesome. And Hannah, where did you grow up in Wales as well? Are you another Welsh lady?
I'm not. I have a bit more of a rare upbringing, I suppose. My parents moved to Turkey before I was born. So I was born and grew up there until I was 12, which meant I was a proper little Turkish kid, speaking the language, went to Turkish school and loved it, to be completely honest, being a blonde British child amongst, you know, Middle Eastern people, and made me quite popular and well loved. But it meant that when I did move back to the UK at the age of 12, it was quite a shock to the system, starting, you know, secondary school, which is already quite a challenging time in your life. But on top of that, having culture shock, mid-teens was rough, I would say. I think it took me a long time to get used to things.
So you grew up in Turkey because of your parents had moved out there. What was the reason that took them to Turkey?
From quite a young age, my mum was really passionate about going overseas. She was inspired by some missionaries that came to her church as a kid. So when she met my dad and they got serious in their relationship, it was a conversation they had quite early on. And my dad kind of just caught that fire as well. So they both decided to go to Turkey through some connections to, reach the people of Turkey and talk to them about Jesus and how, he takes away our sins and just love on people as well. So I grew up in a really great environment of knowing Jesus in a real sense, you know, seeing him perform miracles, providing miraculously. So I feel really privileged in that sense.
Yeah, that's interesting. Thanks for sharing that, because it's good to hear that you've had a good experience growing up out there. And yeah, I guess it's part of your identity now. Beth, was yours a Christian home that you grew up in?
No, it wasn't. I came to faith at 15. It was just before my 16th birthday, actually. And I grew up an only child, but with family challenges as well. I experienced a lot of loneliness, always, you know, striving for friends or for something more. But family circumstances and loss in the family led me to seeking comfort and love, I guess. And that was when I first felt the Holy Spirit for the first time. And yeah, it was life-changing. And it was sort of an eye-opener into my relationship with Jesus and who Jesus was. You know, with not really a background of, you know, the basics of faith, I guess. It was figuring out everything via revelation or just being in church and then just experiencing God's love, really.
That's wonderful. Was it a friend who invited you to church that kicked off the journey, or did you start reading things at home on your own?
It was sort of an accidental invite where there was a local church that had a youth club that I'd been to just a few times. And there was this girl I knew who was on the bus with me actually every day. She was a few years older than me in school, but we just chat occasionally. And it was one Friday night where I wanted to call for a friend who was really popular in my mind, and she'd always say no. And it was like the last rejection that sort of hit me over the edge a little bit. So I walked down the steps of her house and then saw that friend from the bus who invited me to youth club. And that in itself, an invite, was lovely and just showed me how lovely and welcoming people in the church were. And even that hospitality changed my perspective on church, even in that moment.
Yeah, praise God. Yeah, we all have different backgrounds and different stories, different challenges growing up. But any time the Lord draws us and wins us to himself, it's a miracle, isn't it? It's wonderful and we should celebrate it. Yeah, so you guys have had pretty different backgrounds. Yeah. I know, Hannah, that you've got brothers and sisters, and you, Lucy, grew up in a smaller family. So yeah, that's good. Makes us who we are, doesn't it? The different experiences and family backgrounds we have. Tell us then, Lucy, how you got interested in Turkey. How for you did that all come about?
Well, as a Cardiff girl, I would never really see myself as someone to go into the field. The world was quite small in my mind. I thought, oh, I could never do something like that and even desire it. And I didn't want to be honest. But living with Hannah, hearing her experience, it actually gave me a bit of a desire in my heart, actually, to know more, to experience it myself.
Tell us about Cardiff. I don't know it very well. Is it quite a multicultural city? Did you grow up with friends from different cultural backgrounds at school? What kind of new experience was this trip to Turkey for you in that sense?
Yeah, I guess Cardiff is quite multicultural. As an only child, sort of kept myself to myself, really. And even just going into a different culture where the language is obviously different, it was a bit of a weird realization that, you know, we are all humans.
Yeah, I remember my wife's saying when she was in her 20s, starting to think about God's heart for Muslims. She thought, what do I have in common with other Muslim ladies?
Yeah.
And so she started on an internship, actually, in the States, in Arizona, getting to know Afghan ladies, getting to know, I think, Somali ladies. And she realized just what you're saying. Gee, we're all human. And we have so much in common, even though we have very different backgrounds and stories, even like you guys. But actually, we do connect on just that basic level of humanity. Let's go over to Hannah then. So you told us you grew up in Turkey. Now, have you done other international things, any other trips, times away outside of your growing up in Turkey and this short-term trip last summer?
Yeah, like I said, moving to the UK was quite a challenge for me. I always had very itchy feet, wanted to go out again, go somewhere, essentially get out of the UK. And so during that time, my relationship with God had sort of dulled down, died out a little bit, being in secondary school. And so when I finished and took a gap year, I was like, I'm getting out of here. I don't care what I do. But my mum kind of mentioned, well, why don't you do something called a discipleship training school, which takes you overseas. It's 6 months long. In my heart, I was kind of unsure about that. I was almost didn't want to face God. I was a bit embarrassed in a sense that I had been so disobedient to God in the last few years as a teenager. But I went anyway.
And it actually ended up completely turning my life upside down. And although having grown up in a Christian family, experiencing God on my own was really important for me. So we started off in France, then went right into the depths of the Middle East, Egypt and Italy, and essentially did outreach to the people there. We went to some refugee camps. We met with some families that were living there. And I just experienced God in my own heart. It wasn't even in big, miraculous ways, but in my own spirit, I just felt a closeness to God and heard him speak for the first time. Felt him answer personal prayers. The Bible came alive to me. And so it really had a massive, massive impact on how I felt about God and what I wanted to do with my life. So when the trip to Turkey came around, I was like, sign my name up, I'm going.
Yeah, it's such an amazing opportunity when you can, whether it's a gap year, any kind of year out or few months of traveling. It's so different, isn't it? Because you step out of your normal environment and God can do a work. I don't know why, but it's just a different kind of work because we're not surrounded by all the things we're familiar with. And it's almost like going on a spiritual retreat in a sense, isn't it? Yeah. And we can just really ask God those questions, get to know him again in a fresh way. And then because you're also in that discipleship training school, because outreach is a big part of it, you're stepping out in faith and so you're seeing a whole new way of God working and using you, probably learned about yourself, your own gifts in different ways. That's really great, really powerful. What did you think going into other Muslim countries? You'd known Istanbul so well as a young person and probably visited Turkey a few times after that. But what were the lessons coming out of visiting the Middle East? And
yeah, I was quite excited actually to go. I know my mum was sort of devastated. She was, yeah, really, really worried. But my dad was like, absolutely, this sounds really exciting. So I kind of felt like I had his blessing in a way. And, you know, if your parents are worried, you get worried. But if your parents are confident, you kind of, you know, feel a bit more confident going into something. So I went, and although they spoke Arabic and I couldn't communicate the way I could in Turkey, the culture was almost the exact same. And I felt like I just slotted in and almost knew the etiquette, even small things like sitting on the floor for mealtimes, women sitting with women, men sitting with men. That wasn't a shock to me. And I felt almost at home in a way being there. Mm. I think sometimes if you've been in one place and seen God move there, for some reason, your brain doesn't let you believe that it could happen somewhere else. But seeing God move, yeah, in each country we went to, really helped me understand how God has a love for the whole world and in every person's circumstances, whether you live a life of luxury or, you know, living in a refugee camp, God has a heart and a vision for your life. So that was an honor to witness.
Yeah, that's really good. I'm really interested to hear that your dad was gung-ho and your mum was a bit more cautious because she was the one who started this whole missionary journey for your family.
Yeah.
And lives many years raising her kids in Turkey, which is an incredibly brave, courageous thing to do. So it's funny that her feelings towards you perhaps is, oh, well, this is different because it's one of my kids going off overseas to a country I'm not so sure about affected her.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think there was an element of you're my daughter and she had never been to this country in the Middle East either. But ultimately, she did let me go and there was no you know, where some parents might just absolutely say no, she definitely had faith that God would provide the protection for me.
Yeah, this is often part of our parents' spiritual journeys as well, as the Lord is challenging their faith by releasing, you know, us as their children to go off overseas. And what about you then, Lucy? How did your mum feel with this wacky idea to go even on a short-term trip to Turkey?
Well, what I said earlier with the media's perspective on even countries in the Middle East, my mum is a great watcher of the news. So there was concern, a lot of it. I'm an only child, so going off to a potentially dangerous country in her mind. But I had been traveling on my own before to America, so, you know, that gave her a little bit of hope. But yeah, because she's not a Christian as well, you know, being a missionary isn't, you know, she's aware of them, but not so much so that she potentially would trust in that process. So yeah, there was concern, but she was obviously pleased when I got back. And
yeah, definitely. Perspective is such an interesting thing, isn't it? Because a lot of people here would think, oh yeah, traveling to America, well, they speak the same language, yeah, you'll be fine. It's a, you know, fairly well-developed country and so on.
Yes.
And yet, my wife's from Los Angeles. And if all you ever did was watch movies about LA, you might think it's full of gangs and drive-by shootings and, you know, let alone the school incidents that we hear about in the States. And you might think traveling into America is just horrific. Everyone carries guns. And if you could easily go there in your mind and think that's a terrible country to visit, you know, and it could be so dangerous. And of course, certain parts of LA would be very dangerous to visit at certain times of night. So it's very interesting, isn't it, about our perspective of what is safe and where is safe. Yeah, that's a whole nother discussion, I suppose. Great. Well, let's talk about this trip. How many folks went with you and what was the vision of the trip for those who haven't heard about our Turkey trips?
Yeah, so there were 15 of us, all from different backgrounds, different ages. I think we had someone who was in their 80s, someone who was 60s, and then, you know, me who's 24. So we had a whole different range of people. And we hadn't actually met before. So the first time we all met was in Turkey. And we all just got along really well.
Yeah.
That was really cool. Okay, give us your first impressions of landing in Turkey, landing in Istanbul, I presume. This huge city and a huge country, really.
I arrived and it was just bustling. And it was like, wow. It was kind of just experiencing something for the first time, like when you're a toddler and you experience grass the first time or something like that. It was quite liberating being in a country where I didn't speak the language, where the culture was really unknown to me. You know, there was like a smoky haze, and for some reason that was really comforting. it was just like this intense feeling of excitement and unknown that really pulled me in. And we got on the ferry straight away, and it was amazing to see all the lights and the mosques lit up and just people just experiencing life in a different country.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said liberating. That's an interesting word when you're entering a culture that's so unknown and different to you. It's liberating from what, do you think? Like,
I guess from maybe just a small, Cardiff isn't a small town, but in terms of the world, it's tiny. And I felt like it was a footstep into the world, whether it would be the first of many or the first of more trips like it. It was like God aligned that moment and that time just to say, yeah, just go.
That's really cool. Yeah. Just a sense of his approval or that he's launching you into something. Yeah. Beyond just these few days in a different country. Wow. That's cool. Yeah. And for you then, Hannah, going back to a place so familiar?
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, I hadn't been back for several years, but it's always interesting going with people who have never been before. And then you kind of come up from the underground into the center of Istanbul, where it's so hot, people everywhere, people selling things to you. Like Lucy said, there was like a haze in the air and the sun was setting. I just was really excited for everyone on the team and almost really proud that this is somewhere I feel associated with. And although it's, you know, the streets aren't clean, it's quite dirty, there's so much chaos, although it didn't look perfect, there's a sense of things are happening here, there's so many people. And yeah, for me, although it felt like coming home, for others, I was really excited. And it's interesting seeing that through somebody else's eyes.
That's cool. Okay, what was the purpose of the trip and how did it sort of pan out?
So the purpose of the trip was primarily to pray. We wanted to partner with an organization that focuses on reaching the central Anatolian towns in Turkey. Small towns, there's I think over 100 that we think have never been reached by the gospel before. And their heart is to go to each town and cover it in prayer. So we were sort of joining in with that vision and chose a couple of those towns in central Turkey to go to and cover it in prayer. So whatever that involved, whether it was simply walking around praying or
and praying for people if they were willing. You had to be willing to be pulled into another thing that you weren't ready for. There was no plan, essentially, not even anywhere to sleep. We hadn't organized a hotel or anywhere to stay while we were in those towns. So it was a real opportunity to see what God could do with us.
Was that because it's not possible to book ahead into hotels in those towns you were going to, or was that just because you wanted to be open to God's Spirit leading you potentially into people's homes to stay with families? What's the thinking?
These small towns don't accommodate tourists. So although some of the towns, I think, have hotels, it's really rare. So it was hard to plan ahead in that sense. But in the same breath, we really wanted to trust God's guidance in it. I think we were really focusing on the passage in Luke 10 about go into the town and then tell them about God, find the people of peace. And if they respond well, pray for them, tell them about the kingdom. And if they don't respond well, then shake the dust off your feet. So, and in that verse, it talks about going into people's homes. So we were almost having faith that we would be invited into homes, just like the passage said. And if we weren't, then we kind of had the permission to leave. But we wanted to primarily pray, potentially meet people, and having no plan helps that, because otherwise you limit yourself. And so, yeah, I think some people were more scared about that prospect. Others were a lot more excited, which is understandable. I think, yeah, we had to have discussions beforehand about what to expect. And I think when you're walking around praying and thinking about others, you don't leave space to fear for yourself. It's a real selfless thing to do. So that aspect of it helped as well. But I don't know how you felt.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lucy, tell us.
Well, I think that there was a part of me, I think, that wanted to fear it, because that's how I've been brought up, you know, plan everything and everything might be dangerous. But living with Hannah and hearing how sporadic it could get, that really excited me. And I thought, yeah, let's go for it. So when, you know, the time came where there was no plan, it was like, yeah, we're just leaving it all up to you, God, and you have your way. And you've already gone for us here. And, you know, the people that we're going to meet, and even just what's going to happen in that town in years to come or in centuries when we're long gone. So that was such a privilege.
Mm.
Sharing this podcast is a really good way to encourage more people to get involved with God's great mission, whether locally or globally. So please do help us get the word out there. If you use an iPhone, it's pretty easy to write us a review, and that has a big impact on how many people can find us. Alternatively, you could share one of your favourite episodes with a few of your friends. Thanks, guys, and now let's get back to the podcast.
And you guys ended up on separate teams, right? So the 15 split into two teams, was it?
Three
teams. Okay, yeah. Okay, so Lucy, tell us how your team fared.
Well, we arrived and we just would just start to walk, not praying at this point, just like, you know, experiencing something for the first time is always so exciting. And actually, one of the couples who was with us, the guy had a prophetic dream that we might encounter a white house with a blue door. So as the two guys were walking, three girls, me included, we sort of just having a little joke about, oh, where's the white house? Oh, let's go down this street. Maybe we'll find the house with the blue door. And as we started to pray, we were invited in by these two ladies sat drinking tea on a balcony of this house. And we were told that if someone invites you in, don't sort of go in straight away. Just say, no, we're all right. And if they ask again, you know, you can do that as well. But if they ask third time, then go in. And that really stuck out to me, and that's what happened. So we went in and it was like, wow, we've just been here for about less than 10 minutes, really. And it was a real connection that we felt with this family. It was actually a widow, and she was with a friend who was a divorcee, which is sort of how they introduced themselves to us, really. So it was like, you know, two outcasts, I guess, of this in the town. So we hardly prayed at that point. I know we left 10 minutes, but it was like, wow, like God really wants us to make this community of people.
That's precious. And so they brought you in and brought you cups of tea and so on. Did you stay there for quite a few hours?
We stayed there for a little bit. And then the lady who owned the house really wanted us to get a place to stay. She was like, you've come to our town. You are guests. You will be staying somewhere. She was really coming down and putting her foot down and marching up the street with us and not letting us just be left high and dry. And there was arguments for a bit. Everything wasn't good enough for us. She wanted us to have the best. And she kept haggling, but we eventually got a place to stay. And then we took her out for dinner. So that was lovely. And of course, we prayed to the town over the next few days, but it was clear that God really wanted us to meet this lady and her family. And, you know, she said that we touched her heart, but she definitely touched us.
And did you have the opportunity to share the gospel with her and her family?
Yes. We realized quite soon that she was quite a conservative Muslim. So with the people who spoke Turkish, it was just gently raising the point of why we were here, coming to pray. You know, we want the best for the town. God has sent us here. And we very much mentioned God a lot and felt the Holy Spirit say to sort of eventually bring Jesus into it, as she might not receive it as well. And over the course of spending time with her, and on the last day, we actually had the opportunity to interpret her dreams out. Leader on the team read that he had interpreted dreams in the past. So we went the next day, and actually her son, who obviously lost his father quite young, he was 16, shared that he sees his father in his dreams. And that sort of was a gateway for us to speak to his mother and saying, do you dream? What do you dream about? And she said that she dreams that she walks on water, which obviously as Christians, we were like, our eyes just like plucking open. And we were able to share with her, you know, the story in the Bible where Peter walks on water, which she didn't know. We then used that to say that might be Jesus inviting you to come to him. You know, she didn't really say much, but it was a moment in the spirit where you knew that she heard it, she understood it, and was actually pondering it. And yeah, there was just something powerful about that family, about that house. And believe it or not, it was a white house with a blue door. So,
no way.
Yeah, I missed that.
Yeah, I was wondering, I was going to ask you the question, did you ever find the house with the blue door? But that was it.
It was. And there was, I think it was the last night, we were invited back over their house on our last night, and we had fellowship with them, dinner, played games, played a bit of bingo, and just had a laugh with. Language felt like we spoke English the entire night. It was just so easy. And yeah, I just felt so welcome and just so known, familiar to them. But outside the house, we left and there was some tape on the window as if something had entered their window, like a rock or a stone. But the way that the tape was formed was in the shape of a cross. There was a moment where, especially us girls, sort of going, oh my God. It's a cross. I definitely think that was also something symbolic. How the days panned out, and with our sort of agenda praying, but God being like, this family is important.
I love it. I love it so much. It actually reminds me of even Jericho and Rahab. Yeah. And, you know, you're in a place where the biblical stories come to life, you know, sometimes because you're seeking God, you're looking for who might be open in a town where nobody follows Jesus. There are probably no workers, as far as anyone knows, for decades or maybe centuries, there hasn't been a believer in that town, even passing through. And so you have this kind of Jericho experience where you're looking at a whole city and thinking nobody here knows the true and living God. And then you get the opportunity to go into the city and to make a friendship and begin to share the gospel. And who knows what the Lord will do with that small, small beginning. It is very exciting, isn't it? When you think of the impact of someone like Rahab and in the scriptures. Yeah, it starts with one, doesn't it? Okay, meanwhile, Hannah, you were off on a different adventure in a different town. What happened with you guys?
Yeah, so we arrived on a bus. And initially, there was five of us. It is a bit awkward because
You arrived in this random town. You don't even know what direction you're going in because you've never been there. You don't have a hotel booked. So we were just walking. And at first, you don't even really know what to pray because you're like, I don't know anything about these people. What goes on here?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're really trusting God that he'll give you ideas. I just remember the first sort of things we were praying was, God, would you give us ideas of what to pray? Help us to see what's going on really, truly in this town. Myself and someone else were the only Turkish speakers. So as we were walking along and sort of praying awkwardly, we came across some buildings and quite a few of them actually, which said Rocks on it, which was interesting. I don't know if it was a brand of buildings or something, but we kind of started praying into that and had this vision of rocks crying out and almost a desolate place. It was a very desolate place. It felt like there weren't many people out. It was very sort of dusty and dry. And so just had this real sense of these dry, dry rocks that wanted to cry out. So it was amazing even that God kind of gave us that idea pretty quickly. So we just started praying into that. And we did that for about an hour. And then we ended up getting invited in as well, which is very classic Turkish hospitality. They see foreigners. They want to know what's going on. They're very curious people. I think it was one man that came out with his cows. He was a farmer. And he asked us what we were doing there. We just said, oh, we're walking around exploring Turkish culture. And he said, well, come into my house. And similarly to Lucy's story, we was like, no, it's all right. But he was so insistent. So we did end up going into his house and they fed us a whole meal, gave us all their fresh food, which is always really striking about Middle Eastern culture. They really give all that they have, even if they don't have much. They're very generous people. So we experienced some of that. And then we also had the wife of this man. She was in a chair. She looked unwell. She had really, really swollen legs and feet, and they looked really painful. I'm a nurse, so I asked about that. I said, how's your health? And she told me, she started crying about how she was in a lot of pain and she couldn't walk because of her swollen feet. She had a heart problem, just started going into it. And I had a real compassion towards her along with some of the other people on the team. So I just said, could we pray for you? It was a real amazing experience because we had just been sitting and laughing and chatting. And all of a sudden now we're on the floor by her feet, just holding her feet and praying for her. And someone gave me some oil. I can't remember who it was, but we just anointed her feet with oil and started praying. And she was weeping. It was a real touching moment for myself to experience. And I just made sure to say, we prayed for you in the name of Jesus, the healer. And she was so grateful. We didn't stay much longer after that and we left. But it was great because we came across someone from that family a couple of days later and he said, oh, she's so much better. Obviously, we didn't see her. So I don't know, you know, if he was just being polite. But I really trusted God that he would use her to, glorify himself. But yeah, we continued praying in that town. And I'd actually done this trip before. And the trip that we had done before, there was a lot of sitting in this one particular family's house. But this time around, we did a lot of praying, a lot of prayer walking, which I loved because I was absolutely blown away by how much God had to say about this place without me having ever been there before. Just getting a sense for what he said about the women, what he said about the families, what was really going on there. And there's definitely an element of having faith that you're hearing things right. But we just kept praying into it. And I found that really powerful that God had so much to say just about these random towns that no one has even ever heard of outside of Turkey. And yeah, I felt like I had a real heart by the end of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And Turkey's a very hilly, mountainous place. So I think in every town, we all eventually found somewhere that you could get up on a high place and have a good view of the town and pray from like a higher point of view. And I found that really impactful, just having things physically from a different perspective, overviewing this town. Declaring God's goodness over it and even doing worship over the town. And I was really amazed by all of that. And in our own little team. We split off as well. And the men who were in our group went to a mosque, I believe, and had a really amazing discussion with the imam there. Yeah, they were really impacted by that. And yeah, so it was just amazing that you go in with this, into this place with absolutely no plan, and you come back with having met, you know, a handful of people, spoken into their lives, covered the place in prayer. And yeah, it really sparks something in you that...
Yeah, and grown in your own relationship with God and your own heart for the nations and so on. Yeah, that's the beauty of these trips. I mean, did you, Lucy, feel scared at any point in these days out in this sort of these random towns, or off the sort of beaten track and off the tourist route?
Weirdly, no. I think there was one point where there was slight concern, which was actually quite funny, where we went into that garden with all of the family, all of the generations. The woman was such a conservative Muslim that she was trying to search our bags for a Bible.
No way.
And that's the sort of the inappropriate comment she made about us being Christians, and the daughters and the granddaughters laughing that she was hunting our bags. And there was just a couple of us and a bit like, oh, should we be worried here? But, you know, God's peace reign. It's been just feeling that, you know, God loves these people. God loves us. God's got a plan. God has a plan for their moment.
Yeah, and you know, you do have to be prepared for little incidents like that. And maybe she would have reported you to the authorities or something else. And sometimes that's what happens, but God's still in control. And he still, maybe through that event will be working in the lives of some of the government officials there. Because that's happened on previous Turkey trips, hasn't it? Where the police have got involved, but then they've been the ones taking everyone around. We experienced that in Bangladesh as well, with a whole bunch of police protection that we did not want because they were eyes on us the whole time. But actually, they really helped us. And they saw a lot of stuff that they wouldn't have done otherwise. Great. So as we draw to a close, guys, what would be some of your takeaways? And what would you say to some of the students out there listening to the episode thinking, I don't know, what should I do next summer? Or, you know, should I go on a short-term trip? What kind of things would you say?
I think a short-term trip with outreach is, I think there's just something about getting out of the house, so to speak, getting out of the familiar, going into somewhere different and giving God space and sort of aligning your heart with God's, and just being like, you love these people, you've got a heart for unreached places, is part of his whole rescue mission for the world. And God just speaks, and it's so much more clearer in a place of unknown or in a place that isn't familiar, because you know, you give God that time. He deserves that time. He's worthy. But his people who don't know him also, well, they deserve that time. And it's then a privilege when you're out there, and even there is no chance potentially of knowing what these people are doing and what's happened to them or if any seed has taken root, but that's where faith comes in. And it's just a feeling of knowing that God's got them.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. What about you, Hannah?
Yeah, I think the trip itself, I left with a real sense there is nothing else quite so fulfilling as almost laying down your life for others. And although it's a very backwards thing for society that kind of talks about self-care and self-love and how to achieve happiness, my experience has always been that I've felt the greatest joy and fulfillment in thinking about myself less. So the power of prayer, really, and praying for others, even if that's an intimidating thing, like I said, we started off the trip really awkwardly praying. And by the end, we had a million things that we had prayed and a selflessness that came from that. And for those that are kind of students and listening, that even prayer walking in your own town, what an impact that can have. And I know, especially with Muslims, it can be really intimidating because it's a religion that perhaps we don't understand or we have misconceptions about. But actually, they have so much in common with us. They believe in a God. They believe that a God exists. And so you don't even have to convince them of that. They believe in prayer. They do it themselves. But actually, what we believe in is there's a savior that takes away our sins. And so even if you're apprehensive about the Muslim world, yeah, they are hospitable and there is so much we have in common.
Definitely. Yeah, good words, guys. It's been really great to hear your stories and thank you for sharing them with us. I'm sure it'll be really encouraging to different folks, different listeners. So yeah, keep your eyes open for trips. We do them every year to Turkey, sometimes into North Africa as well. And other bespoke trips. There's another one coming up in the Middle East shortly that some of our guys are going on. So yeah, thank you for sharing your time with us, guys. It's been great to hear your background stories, your experiences in Turkey. And we pray that God will continue his work in you as you think about what he has for you in your next steps and your next seasons of life, whether that's in Cardiff or elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for joining us today, guys. For more, check out our website, frontiers.org.uk, our social media platforms at frontiers.uk, or you can email me personally, matt@frontiers.org.uk. Have a great week and make sure you don't miss our next episode.